Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890 925 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is another fabulous, actually wonderful, Wellness Wednesday. You know, it's exciting to be here and have this opportunity to share with you some of the things that we learn and think are important in the healthcare community. And so we're excited to be here today.
Very excited. Another beautiful but brisk winter morning.
It is. It's winter in paradise, and that's pretty nice, really.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, as long as your car heater works, I think this is ideal.
You said that because mine doesn't right now. But my seat warmers do.
Yeah, seat warmers are working. So it's a couple of weeks ago we said that we had a lot of things go on, and we thought we'd share some of that. So in this episode of This Week in Hospice, even though it wasn't exactly, I mean, it is a little bit, we were invited to the premiere of a documentary that was very, very relatable for us. And it was really a great experience. But in talking to the producers after, we started talking about just, you know, kind of offhanded possibility of maybe a documentary about hospice, because there's what hospice has been, what it should be, and what it could be. All of those are a little different. And so we have a different perspective than has been common in the industry. And we're trying to change the way hospice is perceived. But
well,
there are some.
Yeah. And he had an experience that he wanted to share with us. So to elaborate just slightly, after the performance that he produced, he sought us out and wanted, because he knew where we were, you know, that we were from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. And he wanted to discuss an experience he had. And he kind of absolutely fit right into what we commonly see, which are people that are absolutely afraid of hospice because of experiences that they have had, that while the medical or clinical care was good or the nurses were nice, it wasn't, looking back on it, it wasn't the experience that they look back on fondly. And so it's a very touching, emotional story for him, and it shouldn't be. It should be a better, more fulfilled experience. When you take control of the things you can control and you let go of the things that you can't control, and you focus on living and enjoying life instead of focusing on every day the things that are going wrong, it really changes your outcome in the end. We've also said that children who can mourn and grieve while their parents are still alive have a much easier time dealing with the bereavement afterwards.
Right. And so we talked a little about his experience and that it was very a very controlled circumstance, and that there was nothing other than protocol involved, and that didn't lead to a good outcome. And that was, his personal issue with hospice, and we talked about what hospice should be, and as he's been doing a little more research, he keeps sending us stuff, and we keep saying yeah, that's exactly the way it has been in the past. We've seen those things, and those are the things that people are afraid of when they hear the word hospice, that there's going to be just a medication profile, or the nurses are starving their patients or not letting them drink and things like that. And we're not apologists for the industry. What it is not what it was intended to be. The original intent was to make this the absolute best circumstance possible, because society often shuns those people who are passing. I mean, we just get uncomfortable with it, so we don't show up. And so hospice was intended to partially fill that void. It was intended to remove a lot of the stressors and the anxieties and the other things, and to bring that care into the home to provide comfort in a positive way. But as big business has come in and taken it over, and it's more about cash flow and dollars and things like that, and there's been a lot of things that are absolutely, wrong about the way hospice has been done in some areas. Because we're a small business, we're, independent, family-owned, locally owned, we do care about the care that we provide in the community more than the profitability. And so it's we're trying to make those changes.
We will never grow so big that we lose sight of the importance that each member is a part of this family, this community family, and that they are, you know, a dad, a brother, a grandpa, somebody that is a spouse special to family members. And we believe in, you know, wholeheartedly in being treated with respect and love. And it's really important to us to make sure that families have good experiences and that they never give up control and that they don't feel as though a business is hastening death ever. That is never the intent of Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. You will never find us, you know, working to hasten your loved one's death. We follow your instructions and educate and bring the information on right alongside of you. In this producer's circumstances, he did feel as though control was taken from him, and in hindsight, he just followed a protocol and, looking backward, had a lot of regrets. So when he approached us, it was just kind of one of those stories that you just feel sad about and apologetic for the industry that it let him down, because that's not the way that it was intended. But we'll never do that. That's, you know, really important to us to make sure that that family feels the support and that they don't lose control, that they get to make the decisions for their loved one. They know the loved one better than we do. They should be the one in control of those final decisions.
And hospice should be the one to just provide options and tools for them to be able to write this last chapter of their life in the best possible way. Not to predetermine it or to do anything else, but to just give them all the available tools and options. And that's really what the goal is. So how does this relate to this week in hospice? Well, we've been having conversations with people, and a lot of these concerns have popped up. You know, the concern about hospice is going to change the way my dad or my mom are actually living, and they're going to have a negative impact on that. We don't want to do that. That's not the case. We want to do some things that will help improve life and make it more enjoyable for them. We've had calls from people who say, well, you know, I thought I was hospice qualified, but when I talked to the largest local medical organization in southern Utah, they said, well, yes, you are, but you know, we're a little busy right now, so we will call you in a few weeks.
Yeah, and we had a family told that took all their information, filled out all the paperwork, and said, we'll add you in 6 to 9 weeks when we have the staff to support you. And sadly, because
the largest medical organization in
and
Southern
sadly
Utah,
because they're understaffed, you're not getting the number of hours or the care, the total care. Sure, they'll bring in the supplies and the equipment, and they'll send that from third-party vendors, but will they show up to answer questions, to care for you, to just spend time loving your loved one?
Or will they just say, well, let's just make this a telehealth visit, you know, I'll talk to you about it, and we'll work through it. And those are the problems that exist, and we want to change that. So, not that there's going to be a documentary. I'm not saying there is. There was just, you know, some casual conversation, and we keep revisiting this. So we'll see.
And Kaylee
what
keeps resisting.
Yeah. It's yes. Anyway, so we just want everybody to know that things are different, can be different. But you should make wise choices. Be informed. You know, if it comes to your home health hospice organization that you plan on using, there are options. You may only be given one option, but that doesn't mean that's the only one that's available. You'll have to go out and find it for yourself. And so give us a call. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. And we'll try and help you work through that. And we want to talk about some other things that we hope you'll call us on, too. So it's
important. We do encourage you to do your research. no two companies are alike, right? And I don't think most people realize that Medicare really empowers the beneficiary, that all the choices are yours. Often you go to your doctor and your doctor will say, I want you to go here. But that doesn't mean that that's the best choice. It means it's the choice that maybe he has a financial association with, right? So there's a financial benefit there. But you should be watching out for your loved ones and yourself. And you should do your research and find out, what am I getting from this company that's different from this company? Because the ranges of services can be just daunting, the differences in care. And so you should find out for yourself. Do your own research. Compare companies.
Well, and I've always found that if you talk to more than one company, you'll get more than one perspective, and you'll get maybe some understanding that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise that you can use with whatever company you ultimately choose. So being well-informed is just good practice. So we really encourage you to make those calls and to get different perspectives and find out what really matters. So along those lines, as we approach this holiday season, we gather with friends and family and we get a chance to re-meet our family, after a year maybe, and to see that they may have some changes. You know, kids have grown a little bit and elderly people have gotten older, and those are all life changing. We may find that we notice some things that are a little bit concerning. Maybe we've assessed a little bit how they're handling their day-to-days, or they've given us some information about how things are a little more difficult this year than last year, and we're thinking, okay, so let's have a plan going forward. We just kind of wanted to explore some of those options with you and give you some input so that you may be a little better prepared. Certainly the first option is stay at home, right? If grandma or mom...
Statistically, is patient's first choice.
Yeah, almost every time staying at home is best. And so looking for ways to do that, I think at any level is great. And there are a lot of different things that we can do in that. But the next one is to bring in help, right? That actually have people come into the home to help out, and that can be very useful. If that doesn't work, I think we all default to, well, then we have to move them to a facility. And that can be an option, but we want to cover some of the concerns.
Concerns and then options as well.
And then another option that some people may not have thought of is that there are people in this community that opening their homes in a private setting that may be a little more advantageous in some way. So we just... Again, we're going to encourage you to do some research and research deeply. I mean, this is life-changing decisions, and we shouldn't take them lightly, and we shouldn't act indiscriminately. We shouldn't act reactionary. We should really set some plans in place and move in a well-orchestrated manner.
So as you talk about private care homes, we should probably explain that a lot has changed in that industry, right? So if you're doing your research strictly on Google reviews, a lot of those reviews are, with paid priority, they drop off the bad ones, they encourage the good ones. You know, you can't 100% trust that.
Well, yeah, I think without a doubt, we all can see that search has changed. Google has,
monopolized.
Commandeered, the industry. And now... you find that whatever you're searching for, there are marketing companies that have taken it over. And those marketing companies are well designed to manage social profiles. They're well designed to manage reviews and do those other things, but also positioning. And so most of what we find on Google reviews now for most of the services that we might be interested in aren't necessarily legitimate explanations. And so really take all of that with a grain of salt.
Right.
The first, things that come up on almost any search, especially in the healthcare, elder care area, are going to be a number of marketing companies that just get commissions on no matter who they send somebody to. So the information that they provide has nothing to do with the quality of care. It has to do with the quality of the commission. And so I think we have to discount that.
We welcome you, though, to call our office. Yeah. We are very, very familiar. We've had patients in probably most, if not all, of the private care as well as the facilities for memory care, rehabilitation. So we do have personal experience that we're happy to share with you. We, of course, you know, would not go on and write a negative review about anybody, but we are often solicited by those companies to come in and meet the staff and tour the facility. So we can give you some information that you might be looking for that is not as readily available on the internet or as reliable, I guess.
Yeah, and we're happy to do that. But we also want to tell you that that's an area that if you were looking for, how do I find, you know, reliable information? That's the question. We may not know somebody who has been at every memory care facility, you know, and spent time to do a true review. But most hospice companies, most home health companies, most rehab companies probably have had some experience at some of those. And if you call them and ask them for information, they may be able to help you get a perspective on what they perceive as the level of care to be expected in those facilities. So those may be a little bit more reliable reviews to base some information on. Also understand that, you know, while there may be a review that's, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, things have changed drastically over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And businesses are constantly changing. And so, you know, if you knew somebody who stayed, you know, at, you know, one facility or used one company in the past, and all of the employees have changed and the goals of the business have changed and it's no longer the same, it may be a better experience or a worse experience. So I don't think that we can use old information to get relevant new things, because for a business, they're constantly in flux. They're trying to accomplish something. If they're trying to improve the brand, then that probably means they're providing better service. If they're trying to improve profitability, that may mean they're providing less care. And so these are all the business side of these decisions that we want you to understand. And so get some good information, tour the facilities, talk to the people. Don't just talk to the guy who's, you know, giving you the tour, but talk to some of the staff as you're walking by. Just engage in, you know, the person who's pushing the cart down the hallway, you know, talk to them, see if they're friendly, because they're the ones who are going to be working with your loved one. Those can be important experiences. So those are all things that we think you should understand. So let's talk about staying in the home, right? For a lot of people, as family, we may be concerned that they can't function in the home. And the truth is, they may not function as well as they used to, and things may not be handled as well as they could be. Maybe they're not keeping the house up like they should, or, you know, they may not be spending the day as productively as we would all like. But we may not want to judge other people, just like we wouldn't want to be judged. It's whether or not they're putting themselves at real risk.
Right.
And those
because
risks can change very.
Those day-to-day things are easy for companies like Pathway to come in and supplement, you know, with house cleaning and meal preparation. And even now with the technology that we have today with security alert buttons and video cameras, we can really provide the support for your loved one to stay in the home and help you to realize that they are very safe and secure, even though maybe they don't keep their house as tidy as they used to, which is an indication. But we can send people in that will then have eyes on your family that will help with those things.
And we can provide clinical care that they wouldn't normally get. I mean, a lot of people just don't schedule to go see the doctor, and so they fall behind on that. Making
sure certainly harder to get to the doctor's office.
Right. And making sure that they are taking the medications and that the results of those medications are appropriate. You know, sometimes there needs to be some adjustment, and if nobody's looking at that, they won't notice it. You know, again, we've had so many great successes in when somebody comes on with us, just having a chance to look at the medications and the condition that somebody is in and say, well, maybe we adjust some of those. And when we're able to reduce some of those meds, all of a sudden their mind is clearer and they're able to accomplish more. And so it's amazing that a little bit of dedicated observation can do some incredible things.
And I think that's an important time to mention that, just so you know, hospice with an expanded palliative care program is in your home so often that we are actually able to change meds and play with meds to make sure that we tweak them appropriately and have the optimum dosing or medications.
And
that,
scheduling and all that. Because it changes. If you've got a medication that makes you tired, having that in the morning doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's amazing how many people have just been, you know, put on these medications without a schedule, and they schedule those for the wrong time of day, or they should be taking them in the morning instead of the evening. And so being able to change that has a huge impact on people. So those are the things we're talking about.
Maybe your pain's not managed well. Right. You know, doctors see you maybe once a month, maybe, you know, once every 90 days. And so they may go off of the absolute body weight and your size, and it might not be enough, or it might be too much of a dose. So having eyes an evaluation and assessment on your loved one regularly, or you, is beneficial to help the doctor determine where the best dosing is. And that's another thing you should realize. You don't have to give up your doctors. We will work directly with your doctors to help them determine the absolute best protocol for each individual's needs.
So if staying in the home is the goal, then let's look at ways to do that. And obviously, under the hospice benefit, if they qualify, that's at no cost, which I think is a great benefit. But let's say that they don't qualify for hospice, or they need more care than even we can provide, just in having people there. And we've worked with a number of different organizations that can bring in care on a part-time basis. You know, a couple of hours a day or a few times a week. We have people that we know that have gone into the 24-hour care area, where they are there 24/7 with those people so that they can do it. And those may be cost-effective options versus the alternative of putting them in a facility. And most people don't want to go into a facility and be in that clinical environment. So if that's an option, then we think that's good. If you're considering the idea of moving into a facility because you really do have concerns about their ability to just make it through the day on the simplest of processes, then the private care home issue has kind of come up again, because prior to COVID, there were a few of those in town that were excellent. I mean, these were well-qualified, experienced people who just opened their home to people to help them manage their everyday life, and they dedicated themselves to do it. We were surprised as COVID happened that there seemed to be a huge wave of change, in that most every one of those went out of business, whether it was concerns about COVID policies and responsibilities and what the repercussions were, and they didn't want to risk everything just to do this, so they pulled back, or they retired, because most of these people are older, and it's just that became the time to do that. And so most all of the good facilities closed down. There were a couple of companies that still had care homes, but you really need to be concerned about, you know, the type of care that you're getting. And so we just, you know, talked to a couple that are now getting started in that again, and they have, you know, all the experience. And so it's an option. And so again, if it's something you're concerned about, whether that's today or in the next 6 months or anything else, start the conversation early. You know, as you go and see family, and we have this opportunity to do assessments. You don't have to do a formal assessment, asking them, you know, specific questions, but you just get a sense that maybe things are a little more difficult, or maybe this is the first year that they don't feel that they can come to your house because, you know, it's just too much. Those are all indicators that maybe it's time to start having an understanding, so that we can have a better plan than last minute, oh, let's just, you know, do something really quick.
And if you're starting to worry about how to pay for these costs, most often, especially with our company, we'll provide as much as we can at no cost to you through your palliative benefit covered by Medicare, Medicaid, and insurance companies. I don't think people realize that our services are free to the beneficiary, and yet there's so much more than any of the other companies right now, because we're the only one with that expanded palliative program in Southern Utah. So it really is worth looking into before you need it.
And if you have a group of people that, you know, have these concerns, and you want to just not have to think you have to have all the questions, but you can gather some family members together and have a conversation, We would do that.
And come out and introduce yourself to us at the Senior Center tomorrow and Monday.
That's right. So the Senior Center tomorrow, the St. George Active Living Center, we are there at 9:30 to 11:30. And on Mondays, we are in Hurricane at the Senior Center there between 11 and 12.
Have a great week, everyone. We look forward to hearing from you.